you looking for a way to grow your relationship with God and with your spouse if you're married? Hi, I'm Rob West. If you're willing to put in some time and effort, there's a great resource to help you enhance your marital and spiritual relationships. We're pretty excited about it, and Dr. Gary Chapman is here to explain it all. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest, Dr. Gary Chapman, is a much sought-after speaker, counselor, and author of many books, including those on love, communication, and personal growth, the most famous, of course, being The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. Dr. Chapman, a real privilege to have you back with us.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you again.
Well, of course, today we're talking about your resource, A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, which is a comprehensive Bible study. You know, so often we can miss the opportunity to invest in our marriages. Why is it so critical for couples to spend time and effort working on their marriages?
Well, you know, I think it's not only because of the value to us as a couple, but also the value to our children.
Yeah.
And consequently, the value to the community, because as the marriage goes, it's going to have a tremendous impact on the children. And as the family goes, it's going to impact the whole world. So, yeah, I think especially for Christians, because the Bible has a lot to say about marriage.
Yes, it sure does. And I appreciate this resource. Let me just say, Julie and I went through it as a couple. It was really significant for us as you gave us that structure and intentionality once a week to sit down and work through some of these key areas in our own marriage. And I'm just so grateful for it and really excited about so many of you as our listening audience discovering this great resource. And, you know, Dr. Chapman, a marriage relationship is a living thing and it needs to be nurtured and fed like every living thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think, you know, marriages are either getting better or they're getting worse.
Yeah.
They never stand still. And if we are just drifting and not giving attention to the marriage, we will drift apart. We don't ever drift together. We drift apart. And that's why I think it's so essential that couples be doing things on a regular basis to enrich their marriage and to work through whatever struggles they may be having.
Yeah. Dr. Chapman, give our listeners a quick tour through A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. What will couples be doing when they do this Bible study?
Well, I am really excited about this study. Actually, it begins with an opening activity every week and then a Bible study on a particular topic related to marriage and relating to our relationship with God, and then a learning exercise, which helps them put the biblical teaching into practice. And then we also have scripture memorization. They're going to memorize a few verses as they walk through, which I found to be really, really helpful. And then throughout the whole 12 weeks, we're having a daily conversation with God, a sit-down time with God, and reading a chapter in the Bible and having a conversation with God. And we're also having a daily sharing time with our spouse. You know, a minimum is just, tell me three things that happened today, honey, and how you feel about it, you know?
Yes.
Just a daily sit-down time. And then some of the topics, this is not all of them, but some of them are, you know, how to be understood and how to understand your spouse.
Yeah.
That involves, obviously, communication. And then how to express love in a meaningful way to meet that deep emotional need that we have for love. How to handle anger. You know, mismanaged anger destroys marriages. And many of us never learn how to handle anger in a positive way. And then resolving conflicts, because every couple will have conflicts because we're human.
Yes.
We think differently. We have different emotions. So really topics like that, every week working through those. So I really do believe if a couple will work through this, the 12 weeks, they're going to grow in the process.
There's no doubt about it. And Julie and I experienced that. I also appreciated Dr. Chapman so much that she and I developed new rhythms for how we communicate, how we come together, and how we share with one another on a daily basis that lasted well beyond our time in that study. In fact, they continue today. It's also designed for a small group as well, folks. The study is phenomenal. It's called A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. When we come back with Dr. Chapman, we're going to dig into one particular topic related to money that's covered in this study. You're not going to want to miss it. How can money be an asset to a marriage? That and more just around the corner with Dr. Gary Chapman. Back on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. How far would you go to help an enemy? Sometimes we don't even realize we have them. Maybe it's someone who is rude to you, or someone you once trusted but who hurt you with their words or actions. Thankfully, God is not like us. Though we were His enemies, He responded with kindness. Romans 5 verse 10 says, "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" What great love! We've been reconciled through Christ's death and resurrection. We were once His enemies, but now God calls us His friends. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. What a treat to have Dr. Gary Chapman with us today. He's best known for his book, The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. Today, we're focused on another resource from Dr. Chapman. It's actually one that Julie and I spent several weeks working through, and it made a profound impact on our marriage. It's called A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, and I think this could be a game changer in your marriage. Before the break, Dr. Chapman gave us a broad brush overview of this resource. But I want to dig into one particular chapter of this Bible study, and you won't be surprised. It's that chapter related to money. Dr. Chapman, this chapter is titled Making Money an Asset to Your Marriage. Why did you feel like it was so important to include finances in a marriage Bible study?
Well, you know, I think because finances are a major part of marriage. Let's face it, the Bible's very clear. we work, we get money, and now we manage it, you know. In fact, the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat.
Yeah, that's right.
That assumes, of course, you can get a job and you're physically able to work. But then managing that is a really important part of life, as well as marriage. And of course, we were managing money as singles. Now we're going to manage money as a couple, and that can be very different because now we have two voices. So, yes. Yeah, I really felt like this is a major part for many couples, especially. A lot of struggles in this area.
Dr. Chapman, as you've counseled couples over the years, and obviously you've written extensively on this topic, what do you think is at the heart of the conflict that's so often present related to money and marriage?
You know, I think a part of it is that we're human, and humans don't think the same way, and they don't have the same feelings about a number of things, and money happens to be one of them. And I think until we realize that, you know, and we come into money as singles, single adults normally, we've been managing money and to some degree as a single, but we've probably been managing it in a different way. And so we have one idea, and our spouse has the other idea, and we often end up arguing about this part of marriage. In fact, a lot of research indicates this is one of the major areas of conflict, is this whole area of how to manage our money.
Let's unpack this idea of understanding your spouse in this way around money, because we know that so much of the way we handle money today as adults was shaped in some of those early formative years, watching our parents and what they modeled, and whether money was plentiful or whether it was scarce. And all of that informs how we handle it today. But when two become one and they have different backgrounds, they're wired differently from God, it's obviously a recipe for disaster, unless you can understand and appreciate what your spouse is bringing to the table. How do you counsel couples pre-marriage and in marriage to really understand where your spouse is and make that something that drives toward unity, not disunity?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to acknowledge that we're likely going to disagree on this. Yeah. So let's sit down here and listen to each other. Tell me what your perspective is on how much money we ought to save, for example, every month, yeah, or how much money we ought to give away. Or how are we going to handle the money? Just a whole lot of questions, as you well know, about handling money in a marriage. And many times, couples have really not discussed this before marriage. I encourage them to discuss it before marriage. And in premarital counseling, I help them go through some of these things so that they're kind of going in on the same page. You know.
Yes.
But there are going to be things, even if you talk about it beforehand, that when you get in there, you're going to realize, oh, wait a minute, we agreed to this. Oh.
Yes.
So listening to your spouse with a view not to arguing with them, but with a view to understanding their reasoning, their ideas on whatever particular topic it is related to money. And if we understand each other, then we can say, okay, now obviously we disagree with on this, but let's decide how we're going to handle it. And we're looking for a solution rather than trying to win an argument with our spouse.
Yeah, that's well said. Dr. Chapman, how important is financial fidelity and transparency in marriage?
I think it's extremely important. I had a lady say to me the other day, she said, you know, Dr. Chapman, she said, my husband went out and on our credit card, he put $4,000 and he never, ever discussed it with me. And she said, I can't live like this. I can't live like this. So, you know, if we're not being open and honest with each other, about how we're spending, you know, our access to the money, it can be a huge, huge problem. We have to be open and honest about this.
Yeah. As we talk about this resource, A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, what does this chapter help couples do as they come together in the area of finance?
Well, I think it helps them, for one thing, to make a fundamental decision on terms of, are we going to follow the biblical pattern of at least beginning by giving 10% of all that we receive to God? And sometimes that's an easy thing, because sometimes there were Christians before when they were single, and they've been doing that, and that's no big problem. For others, one of them may well say, well, I can't imagine that, you know, 10%. I mean, what?
Sure.
But agreeing on, you know, how much are we going to set aside to give to God? And then how much are we going to save? What percentage of our income do we want to save? And then what are we going to do with the money we save? Why are we saving it? And then obviously, who's going to keep the books? Yeah. You know, who's going to balance the checkbook each month? And who's going to make sure the bills are all paid? And that may be one or maybe another. And, of course, we have different abilities. And typically one of us might be better suited to do that, to keep the books and balance the checkbook and so forth, than the other person. So what we're realizing is we're on the same team. Yes. Now let's find what part each team's going to play. Mm-hmm. We're not enemies. We're here to work as a team.
Yeah. Dr. Chapman, what communication rhythms do you suggest for couples in this area of money and money management?
Well, you know, I think if they have that daily sit down and listen time to each other that we discussed earlier, and that's what this book helps them to develop, a time that they sit down every day and share life with each other, then in that daily talk, sometimes money questions are going to come up. But I think if we are struggling in a particular area, then we need to say, let's just set a time that's good for both of us when we can sit down and really look at this and try to understand each other and make some decisions that will help us in this area. Because if we don't have a sit-down time and focus on whatever struggles we're having, they're not going to go away just with the passing of time. We have to listen to each other, and we have to make decisions about how we're going to handle it. And you can say, you know, let's try this for 6 months. And if it doesn't work well, then we'll talk about it again. But let's decide what we're going to do, at least for the beginning part of our marriage.
How would you describe the win here if a couple's willing to do the hard work, willing to invest in their marriage, willing to use a resource like a couple's guide to a growing marriage? What's the vision for what's possible?
They're going to have, I think, the marriage they wanted when they got married. You know, what we were expecting was to be to have a marriage where we are loving each other, we're supporting each other, we're encouraging each other, we're helping each other, we're working as a team, seeking to accomplish what God has in mind for our lives together as a family. And also, I think the other win, if you have children, is you're giving the children a model of how a husband and wife work together in the financial area as well as other areas.
Yeah, that is well said. And we'll have to leave the discussion about the specifics of the book there for now, but we are so confident that this tool will be a game changer for many marriages. Now, folks, we are so excited that Dr. Chapman can stick around for one more segment and take a couple of questions. So if you have a question specifically on marriage and money, call right now, 800-525-7000. Your questions for Dr. Gary Chapman, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes. I'd like to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. AFR.net, any podcast platform, or at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now available on Audible. So come join us at Sandy Rios 24/7, and remember, God's Velvet Hammer, available at Audible.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. What a treat to have Dr. Gary Chapman with us today, the author of The Five Love Languages. We're talking money and marriage today, and Dr. Chapman is able to stick around until just past the bottom of the hour, so one more segment. And we would love to take a couple of questions today. If you have a question on money and marriage, something going on in your life, maybe you're struggling to get on the same page, or perhaps you're disagreeing about your giving or some other aspect of your financial life, and you'd like Dr. Chapman to weigh in today, we've got just a bit of time. You'd need to call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Just for this next segment, questions on money and marriage for Dr. Gary Chapman. Dr. Chapman, we say so often that money issues are heart issues. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so money is often symptomatic of really underlying spiritual issues. So for a couple that is disagreeing about money, or they're having money issues, and really the money issues are pointing to a breakdown in trust or something else going on in the marriage, what steps do you recommend that they take as a next step to really get somebody who could come into and help speak to as a biblical counselor? Do you start at your church? Where should they go first?
Well, you know, sometimes the church is the easiest place to go because many people don't know any other place to go. And typically, counselors, financial counselors or otherwise, build bridges to pastors because they know that many times people will call a pastor. Do you know someone who could help us in this area? And so I would say the church is a good place to start. Maybe it's not the only place.
Yes,
there are
sure.
Perhaps other places as well, but it might be the easiest place.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I think bringing somebody else in when you're just kind of at a stalemate, somebody who understands the counsel of Scripture, who can hear both sides and help you chart a path forward, that's obviously a key piece of this, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, why go on arguing for 15 years?
Yeah.
Or 5 years or 5 months, for
right.
that matter? You know, bring in a third party, someone else who can help both of you hear each other, understand each other, and then find a solution rather than trying to win the argument. That's the value of an outside voice, you know, in terms of a counselor. And listen, you know, we all have conflicts, whether it's money or other things. We all have yeah. conflicts
yes.
because we're human. And humans don't think the same way about everything. They don't have the same feelings. We don't have the same background, so we're coming to marriage with a totally different background sometimes. So, yeah, we need someone else who can help us hear each other and focus on finding a solution.
Mm. I think that's certainly well said. You know, often we can feel like, well, if we have to resort to a counselor, quote unquote, or a pastor, we've failed, and I don't want to accept failure. And yet we all at various points in our lives need somebody who can journey with us. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
No, absolutely. That's what the church is all about.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a community. We're not lone rangers, you know, walking with just us and God.
Yeah.
It's us, God, and the community. And listen, there are a lot of things that any one of us doesn't know anything about. And sometimes money's one of those.
Yes.
And so there are other people who know a lot about that topic. And that's why we go to a medical doctor if we got a physical problem, because we know they know more than we do. So the same principle is true when it comes to finances. And if we take advantage of other people's knowledge in those areas that we may not have, it's just wisdom.
Yeah. Let's wade into an area, Dr. Chapman, that might ruffle a few feathers. What about separate checking accounts, the my budget and your budget approach? Does that foster disunity, and do you encourage couples against that approach?
You know, it all depends, I think, of course, on the couple and how they view it and why they do that. You know, I've always leaned toward having, you know, one account, and whether it's checking or whatever, one account, because it's our money. It's not my money and your money. It's our money. And so to totally separate the two, and, you know, this is my money, and you put all of your income into that, and they put all of their income into the other, it's not the picture of what marriage is all about. I'm not saying it never works. You know, I'm just saying it's not the ideal from my perspective, because what we want to do is recognize we're together in this. We're going to make decisions in terms of what we give and what we save and how we spend our money. And so it's much easier, I think, if we work from one pot rather than working from two pots.
Yeah, very good. And that's Sharon's question in Louisiana. Sharon, I know you all are just married in your late 60s. We've got just a couple of minutes before our time closes with Dr. Chapman. Tell us quickly what you're wrestling with.
We would like to know, well, since we're both already established, we've been married 4 months, and should we have all joint checking accounts or some joint? That's just what we're...
Yeah, very good. And Dr. Chapman, later in life, in their late 60s, 4 months into their marriage, how would you counsel them?
Well, it's very different from being a newly married couple at the age of 23.
Yeah.
Because you both have established financial things already. And hopefully you've already talked about that, how we're going to handle that as we get older and when we leave, and, you know, and all of that. Hopefully it's been settled to honor your families, both of your families. But I think whether it's all put in one account or all kept in two accounts, as long as you have the idea this is our money and we're not holding back anything and information from each other, we're going to let each other know where we are financially, and we're going to work together as a team. So there may be some things that you would decide to keep separately, but I think the working budget, I think, would typically be put where the funds are put together. That's my thought.
Yeah, very good. Sharon, congratulations to you and your husband. And we're going to send you a copy of this book, A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Foster that communication that's so key, regardless of how you work it out mechanically, having that unity, driving toward oneness and open communication is so essential. So you stay on the line and we'll get your information, get that book out to you as our gift. Well, Dr. Chapman, what a treat to have you with us today. We're so thankful for your ministry and for your time, sir.
Well, thank you, Rob. Always great to be with you.
All right. Bless you. Well, folks, that was Dr. Gary Chapman. You can pick up a copy of this book, A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, wherever you get books. Back with your questions after this. Stay with us.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us today on Election Day. Today, Americans will vote on who will become the 47th president of the United States. And you haven't been out to do your civic duty, let me just implore you to take the opportunity to express your values, show up in the ballot box, be ready. iVoterGuide.com is ready to support you in helping you make a decision that aligns with your values and priorities. Show up and vote. Today's the day to do it. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. What a treat to have Dr. Gary Chapman with us. It's a busy program today. Coming up in the next segment, Bob Dahl stops by with his weekly market commentary. We'll find out what's moving markets today. Clearly, the market rising. What's that telling us, perhaps, about what might be the outcome of the presidential election, and where is the market going from here based on the outcome? We'll get Bob's take on that straight ahead. But first, let's go to Texas. Daryl, thanks for waiting patiently. Go ahead.
Hello, Brother Rob. Yes, my wife and I are considering two different financial advisors. One's a young man, and the other's an older, which my wife is leaning toward. She wants the older man. She trusts him, but he's promoting an annuity. We have a joint account of over $500,000, and the other amounts are in like four IRAs there, another half million, a little over half million. So we're talking about $1 million over. And the younger man is promoting an insurance policy, a permanent life insurance with a $343,000 payout. But it's a legacy, and it requires both of us to have died to receive it for our heirs. And it's $20,000 a year coming out of the IRAs. He's saying that we don't need the income. He's saying that we need to get the tax-free assets for our legacy. And of course, that makes my wife uncomfortable. That, you know, it's not for us, you know. And but I mean, at the same time, if we don't need it, but I'm just considering. We don't know what to do, and I'm leaning toward the younger man with the insurance. Permanent life insurance, and she's wanting to go with the older man with the annuity. We're both, I'm 72. She just turned 73 on Halloween. And so, you know, we're not going to make it to the 99 years old that he's got this insurance going out to. In the end, coming up to 90 years old would be $610,000 payout. But with a cash value of $235,000 for the accumulated value at 90, you know, and we're, you know, that's less than 20 years away. And so what is your opinion on how to approach? I don't want to buy an insurance product just because they have, you know, their salesman for an insurance company, if you will, and advise also.
Yeah, that's helpful, Daryl. I appreciate all that background. You know, I think it always behooves you to just kind of take a step back and say, this is not about advisor A or advisor B. It's not even really first about product A or product B. It's really about, where is God leading you? What assets has he entrusted to you? What are your values and priorities in this next season of life? And yeah, we want tax efficiency and we want good diversification and we want, you know, appropriate risk-adjusted returns, but we need to start with kind of the why. And I think that's why having an advisor who first shares your values, but second can advise you objectively as a fiduciary, not in terms of, and I'm not saying either of these advisors are driving you toward what's going to generate the most commissions to them. That may or may not be true. But I like the idea of a fiduciary who's legally bound to put your interests above their own and help you all discover what is the right product for or investment strategy for you, not, you know, what they happen to have in their toolbox, so to speak. You know, I'm not a big fan of permanent life insurance, especially in this season of life, unless there's a need for it, like a business owner who needs a buy-sell agreement, you know, that's funded by permanent life insurance or a lifetime, you know, disabled or dependent, you know, adult child or something like that. Because, you know, there's higher premiums. I mean, it's expensive, these permanent policies, and it's going to get more expensive over time. You know, there's a lower cash value initially, there's high surrender charges, they're complex. You know, and that would be true about the annuity or the life insurance. So, you know, what I would like to do is start with not only a discovery process about who you are and where God is leading you guys, but secondly, what is your financial finish line? How much is enough? And I think that comes down to starting with your lifestyle. Where do we want to cap our lifestyle in terms of how much do we need to live on? There's not a quote unquote Christian lifestyle. I mean, we see ideas in God's word about living simply and working with our hands and, you know, I think saving and living appropriately, but you need to work that out in prayer with the Lord between you and your wife. But I think once you decide, okay, this is what we need to live on per year or per month, and this is kind of the lifestyle we're committing to, then it's just a math equation to say, okay, how much do we need then to fund that for the rest of our lives? And are we sitting on surplus right now? I mean, the way the tax structure works is not really going to be with the assets you're talking about, any estate taxes or inheritance taxes. And so, you know, could you start giving some of it away right now and accelerating that opportunity? Could you enjoy some of it now and use it for other purposes or give it to the kids or, you know, whatever it might be? But I kind of like the idea of a third option, which is an advisor who can help you explore your values, discovery, set a financial finish line, giving you and your wife peace of mind, talking about how you might want to use the money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And then as an investment strategy, what about not using a product that's expensive and locks you up and it's complicated, but just investing it in a way that, you know, reduces risk where appropriate, but still gives you full access to the money without all the fees and extra bells and whistles embedded in it. And that would just be a bond and perhaps smaller portion to stocks, maybe some precious metals, that type of thing. But what are your thoughts on all that?
Well, my biggest concern is they're telling us we're not spending enough money already. So it's not a matter of that. We're living very comfortably, but we're not real extravagant. But my biggest concern is end-of-life care when it gets really expensive and you're needing 24-hour nursing care. That's because I've experienced that with my parents and her parents. When we saw them pass, it consumes all your money quickly. And that was my biggest concern. I don't want to be a burden to my children and medical costs.
Well, a couple of thoughts on that. I mean, one would be you could buy a straight long-term care insurance policy. And the nice thing is you're in a situation, I typically say for folks who have more than, you know, $2 to $2.5 million in investable in assets, they don't need long-term care insurance because they can self-insure. For somebody who, like you, who's somewhere between $1 million and $2 million, you've got the assets to pay the premium on that. You could get a really, you know, a great policy with a really effective daily benefit. even an inflation rider and some of the other bells and whistles on it, a short waiting period. And even if it, you know, increases over time with the rising cost of healthcare in terms of the premium, you'd be able to absorb that. And then you kind of take that off the table because now you've got the appropriate policy that allows you and your wife to have peace of mind. And now, again, you're freed up to just invest that in a way that makes sense and use it. I also wouldn't buy into the idea that you're not, quote, spending enough. That's between you and the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with living modestly. So I hope that gives you some ideas. If you want a kind of a third opinion here, I'd check out a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas on our website at faithfi.com. But hopefully that gives you a few things to think about. Thanks for your call, sir. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? You're not alone. At FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus' teachings. Replace your financial anxiety with peace today. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It's Election Day, and, well, the markets are green across the board. Bob Dahl is with us. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob, given that investors generally believe that Donald Trump would be better overall for the economy, is today's opening on the big boards an indication that investors believe he's got this?
Well, great question. It's certainly what's been going on. That is, the market has generally been moving higher as in the last month or so. Trump has moved up in the polls and the betting markets, as it were. So that's probably partly the case. But the economy's got an assist in the markets as well, Rob, and you know that's been reasonably good, too.
Let's talk about the economy. What is the latest data telling us, Bob? What are you watching?
Well, we since you and I last talked, we received the real GDP for the third quarter, up 2.8%. Second quarter was 3.0. They're both above trend numbers. 2% is about the trend. So we're growing faster than long-term growth is likely in the U.S., and that's pretty solid.
Yeah, no question about it. Obviously, earnings is what it's all about at the end of the day. What are you seeing as the earnings come in?
Well, earnings for the third quarter are still coming in. We're most of the way through, but not complete. And they've been okay, no better than that, Rob. And as we point out in our deliberations this past weekend, earnings estimates for 2024 have dropped for the first time to a single-digit gain. The gain had been anticipated for double digits for quite some time. And as those numbers come down, it tells you the analyst numbers are just too high, and the third quarter releases have sparked those cuts.
Bob, is there anything we should take away from the fact that alongside the strength in the market, we're seeing incredible strength in both gold and crypto? What does that tell us?
Yeah, it tells us that at the root, nominal growth, nominal GDP, that would be real growth plus inflation, is good. And when that happens, risk assets tend to move up. Risk assets, of course, are stocks and precious metals and commodities and things like that. So it's all part of this. The economy has been better than expected. Maybe that's going to continue. And so investors are bidding the price of all those things higher.
Bob, as we look at the markets, you know, we see that the consumer, for the most part, has held up. I mean, I think this this tail on all of the stimulus perhaps played out longer than we thought, just in terms of, you know, how the average consumer was saving and spending. Is that continuing to be the case, or are we seeing some, you know, perhaps erosion of the consumer's overall financial health?
It's mixed, Rob. We're starting to see some erosion, but on the other hand, the confidence of the consumer index from the Conference Board announced last week for the month of October jumped up again. But then on the other hand, you get a jobs report for the month of October last Friday, only 12,000 new jobs when consensus was triple-digit thousands of jobs. So you're getting mixed signals, and that's typical of a period where you're transitioning from either slow growth or to faster growth, or as in the case of this cycle, reasonably strong growth to somewhat a little weaker. So weaker growth probably ahead.
Bob, as investors take a collective sigh of relief after the results are in, whether that's tonight or 2 weeks from now, let's hope it's not the latter. Where does the market go from here, just based on either scenario?
Well, if Trump is elected, it probably means that interest rates continue to creep higher. You know, the 10-year Treasury yield is a bellwether measure, had a yield of 360 a couple months ago. Today is over 430, and we've been saying a Trump election means it goes to 450. If Ms. Harris is elected, it probably goes down to back to 4.25, maybe down toward 4. And that would have some impact on stocks, as stocks like it when interest rates fall. Having said that, a Harris election probably means slower economic growth, Trump faster economic growth, so earnings will be affected. So all this will take time to sort out, and of course, that's what they've been saying. A lot will depend on what Congress is elected behind them that has to pass all this legislation. So for now, it's business as usual.
Yeah, makes sense. Bob, we need to vote our values. We can also invest our values. And as you and I have talked before, I mean, we're probably talking, you know, $20+ trillion in the hands of Christians. And yet there's just a, you know, less than 1% of that in faith-based products today. And yet studies are saying that when presented the opportunity, Christians overwhelmingly want their values to line up with their investments. Where's the gap and the opportunity in that?
Yeah, first of all, those surveys are just great, great news for everybody, in my view. Those of us that are managing money in this way, financial advisors who are advising their clients, we have to continue to educate those clients to help them figure out, okay, if this is what you want to do, here's how you do it. And that takes time and education, but it should mean some good growth for the faith-based investing world, as more and more, as you point out, individuals, financial advisors, and institutions are attempting to line up their investments with their beliefs.
Yeah. I was looking at a study the other day. I mean, just 5 years ago, there was less than 100 offerings in this space. Now more than 160, like the great work happening there at Crossmark Global. And so that's good news. There's more products, they're world class, they're award winning, but they really are where the rubber meets the road, doing great work. Bob, last question. How do you and your team overlay this values and faith filter as you're selecting companies that will also provide value in the portfolio?
Well, for starters, Rob, as you know, we will not invest in companies that are doing bad, companies that make products that in some cases kill or at least maim people or just not good for the flourishing of society. But then importantly and more interestingly, We give extra kisses, I use that phrase, to companies that are doing good. Yeah, you have to have good secular characteristics for growth and cash flow and a strategic plan that you can execute. But on top of that, who's doing good? How are they treating their clients, their suppliers, their customers, their employees? And this is the faith-based investing world that's so exciting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Bob, we're grateful for you, and thanks for your insights. We'll look forward to, hopefully, on the other side of this election to getting your thoughts on where we go from here. But in the meantime, happy Election Day.
Same to you, and many more.
All right. God bless you, Bob. That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more. And while you're there at crossmarkglobal.com, sign up for his weekly investment commentary, Dahl's Deliberations. All right. We're almost out of time today. A few thoughts. First, let's tackle a couple of emails. We don't get to these as often as we should, and they come into us regularly at askrob@faithfi.com. This one from Vanessa. My daughter's credit score is 625, and she's committed to repairing it. My credit score is over 800, and I've heard you talk about making someone an authorized user on a credit card to help with their score. Can you elaborate on how that works and how it might affect both of our credit scores? I sure can, Vanessa. And basically, if you designate your daughter as an authorized user, the issuer will report your activity to the credit bureaus under your name and hers. And so here's why people do that, even if you don't give her the card, and most people don't. She will then get the benefit of your entire credit history with that account, including the length of time it's been open. So if this is an account that's been open for a decade, that's going to come over to hers as well, the credit limit and the payment history, and that can improve her score while having no impact on yours. Now, keep in mind, first, she doesn't have to use the card to get this benefit, so there's no reason to give her access to the account. Second, the negative history passes with the positive. So let's just play this out. Let's say that you were to miss a payment. You're on vacation. You forget. You have an auto payment set up and it fails, something like that. Your late payment is going to pass right over to her as well. So just keep that in mind. This is not for everyone, but it is something you certainly can consider. Thanks for writing to us. Ashley writes this. Hey, Rob, unfortunately, I'm completely lost when it comes to all things financial. However, I want to set my family up for financial success later on. So I was wondering if you could point me to a resource that could help me learn what I need to learn about finances. I'd be happy to. Two of our all-time favorites, Ashley, are one, a quicker read called Your Money Counts by Howard Dayton. Howard's a good friend, a mentor, and the former host of this program. It's a fabulous kind of tome, if you will, on biblical finance. And then second, a little bit of a thicker read, but still very practical and very well written. It's a classic, Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Either of those, Your Money Counts or Master Your Money, would be a great beginning point for you. And then you can progress from there. There's some great books that you can move on to, like Redeeming Money from our friend Paul David Tripp, or Money, Possessions, and Eternity, a little thicker, by Randy Alcorn. But I think Your Money Counts and Master Your Money would be great beginning points. Thanks for writing to us. By the way, folks, if you have a question, send it along, askrob@faithfi.com. Hey, before we wrap up today, let me remind you, faith and finance is listener-supported. We can only do this because of your support. So if you could make a gift between now and the end of the year, in fact, today would be a great day to do it. That would help us finish the year strong, prepare for another year of ministry here at Faith and Finance. Gifts of any amount, 50, 100, 1,000, 5,000, it all goes to helping us equip more faithful stewards in the area of financial management. Just go to our website, faithfi.com, and click give. That's faithfi.com, and click give. You can give one time, or if you give monthly at $35 or more, you'll become a FaithFi partner. You'll get our new quarterly publication that launches in January. I can't wait for you to see it. It's incredible. And all of our new studies and devotions pre-released to your door as a part of being a FaithFi partner. Again, faithfi.com. Just click give. Folks, thanks for being with us today. Get out there and vote. Big thanks to my team today, Taylor Stanrich on research, Sandy Dickinson handling our phones today and doing an amazing job as always, and Mr. Devin Patrick, producer. For Bob Dahl and Dr. Gary Chapman, I'm Rob West. Been a true delight to have you here today. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.